But before we go into the Word of God this morning, I'm going to try to sing a special in song, and it's an old Andre Crouch song, and it's my tribute to God be the glory.
Let us go back so we can see you.
Okay.
So we're here.
Okay. Praise Him for who He is, the one only true living God. And as we come this morning on this Sunday, before our nation officially observes Thanksgiving Day on that fourth Thursday in November, I trust that each of us come truly thankful in our heart for who He is, for who God is, and for all of His blessings and all of His benefits toward us. Before I go into the scripture lesson, it's going to be Psalm chapter 100, the 100th divisions of the Psalms. I just want to read a couple of excerpts from two of our great presidents. George Washington proclaimed a Thanksgiving proclamation on October 3rd, 1789 as our country was founded in 1789 as a constitutional republic. And I want you to listen to what our first president had to say about Thanksgiving. He said this, George Washington, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the divine providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for all His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and that we might publicly give thanksgiving and prayer, acknowledging with grateful hearts, the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially affording them the opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and for their happiness." He says, "I do recommend and I do assign the Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all of the good that was, that is, or that will ever be." George Washington said that our Lord is the beneficent author of all of the good that was, that is, or that will ever be. And that's amazing to me right there. He was a man of God, a man of prayer, wasn't he? And our God is the author of all good, past, present, and future. Let us read Psalm 100. And at the close of the message, after the message, I'm going to read words from Abraham Lincoln. And his proclamation of Thanksgiving was on the very same day, October 3rd, 74 years later, in 1863, during the Civil War. But look at Psalm chapter 100. We know it well. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Amen. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we bow our hearts, Father, on earth Your footstool, as we're trying to address Heaven's throne. Lord, we realize that only through the intercession of our great High Priest, Jesus, can our prayers gain acceptance before Thy throne of grace. We thank You for this time to worship You with grateful hearts. I thank You, Father, for Mountain View Church, and I thank You for their members and those that are so faithful at this place of worship. And we pray, Lord, in Your time, that You would send them the pastor that You would have for this flock. And I'm thankful, Lord, for all Thy churches wherever they meet this day. And bless Your children the world over, those that are meeting freely in countries that allow that, but those that meet in hiding for fear of persecution, wherever they may be, comfort their hearts and lead them, guide them, and direct them. And Father, even with all her problems and troubles and misdeeds, I still believe that we're living in the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I thank You for our forefathers and our founders who had the faith to establish this nation on the principles of religious liberty. And I pray, Lord, that those religious liberties would not be curtailed. So, Father, now, please forgive us of our national sins, but forgive each of us of our personal sins. Thy Word teaches in 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins to You, that You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, be with our military personnel, wherever they may be this day, and their families, and especially those that will be away from their families during this holiday season. And be with those that were just mentioned this morning on the prayer list of this church. Be with the family of Brother George L. Boydston and that tragic loss, and others, Lord. Now be with us, and as we come into worship, then may we go out to serve Thee better. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been said that the 100th Psalm is the climax of Psalms chapters 93 through 99. And I believe that it is. I went back and read Psalms 93 through 99. And the 100th Psalm is like the refrain of those Psalms that go before them. For example, in Psalms 93, the first verse, it says, "The Lord reigneth, He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself, and the world also is established, that it cannot be moved." It says in verse 2, "Thy throne is established of old, and Thou art from everlasting." Now that's one of the greatest reasons I know of to praise our God and give thanks to Him. He is on His throne ruling and reigning today. And guess what? He's always been on that throne. There's never been a time when He was not ruling and reigning over all of His creation, and especially over men. Those that are His children and those that are not God's elect. He reigns and is clothed with majesty. His throne was established from everlasting. It says in Psalms 34 verse 1 that, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, to whom vengeance belongs, show Yourself." He is the just God, and no one can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest Thou?" He says in Psalms 95, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." He says the same thing in 96. "O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." And then he returns in Psalm 97 saying, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad." And he says in Psalms 98, once again, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things." Marvelous things. Marvelous things. And then in 99, he says again, "The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." If that isn't reason to make a joyful noise to the Lord, then I don't know what is, dear child of God. So he says in our text, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands." Now, you've always heard it said jokingly. People might say, "Well, you know, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't carry a tune in a bucket." But you know what? The Lord is not listening to the notes that we sing. He is not listening to see if we're on pitch, musically on pitch. He is listening to our heart. That is where God is listening. He is listening to our heart. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5 and 19. Paul said that we are to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for how many things? Some things? No. All things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Making melody in our heart to the Lord. There's where the Lord is concerned. He is concerned with our heart, not with the pitch of our vocal cords. I can't sing tenor as well as I did when I was young, Sister LaRue. And you know, the older I've gotten, the harder it has become for me to sing tenor. It was Sister Hazel Scott that converted me as a young man from bass and from singing bass to singing tenor. And it was with a thump on the back of my head that I was converted from singing bass to singing tenor. Sister Hazel Scott. But even then, it was not the Lord listening to my bass or my tenor. It was the Lord listening to the melody in my heart. And it should be a joyful melody, shouldn't it? And we are to give thanks to God for all things. And Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we're to give thanks in all things, and for all things. Now we know that in our point of view, not all things that we see in our lives are good. Or at least they don't seem to be good the way we view things. But you know what the Paul says in Romans 8? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so there may be things that we go through in this life that are truly not good and are truly bad. But God has the ability to work those things out for our good.
Amen.
And do you know why? Because the Bible says the Lord is good. And that phrase, the Lord is good, is repeated 7 times in the Old Testament. The Lord is good. And that's the perfect number of God, 7. Means complete. And so, you know, the Lord is not, His goodness is not simply a characteristic of who He is. His goodness is who He is. The Lord is good. And so we find that we should give Him thanks in all things. And He says, all ye lands. That tells me that the Lord has His people all over the face of the earth.
That's right.
That He has His people in every country, in every tongue, and every nation upon the face of the earth. Because He says, let all lands make a joyful noise. Look in verse 2 with me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now let's think about that. Now the Hebrew word for serve is in other scriptures translated worship. Worship. In some verses it's translated serve. In other verses it is translated to worship the Lord. And I often say this, that when we come into the house of the Lord, we come in to worship, and then we are to go out to serve Him. Isn't that true? We come in to worship and to get our spiritual cup filled, right? We want to get our spiritual cup filled. But let me tell you this. Don't come with the attitude of what I can get out of the service. Come with an attitude of what you can put into it. What can I put into the service? And if you come with an attitude of what can I put into the service, then guess what? Your cup will be overflowing. Your cup, your spiritual cup, will be filled to overflowing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give and it shall be given." Right? We are to give of ourselves into God's service, and then it will be returned to us. I just got to read that verse. It got me excited. It's Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It's Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Where Jesus said to His disciples, Luke 6, 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now, what is the first thing that we are to give back to the Lord? Isn't it ourselves? We are to give our whole beings into His service and into His worship. And when we do that, we will receive in return good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, that may not be with monetary blessing, but it will certainly be with spiritual blessing, won't it? And I mentioned in Bible study this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that wonderful verse that I think about so often where Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, not with some, but with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, we didn't earn those, did we? They're unmerited. But we can, our cup is overflowing when we give of ourselves in His service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I refer us back to Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95. Where He said, "O come, let us sing to the Lord, making a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with what? With thanksgiving." With thanksgiving. "And make a joyful noise to Him with psalms." Why? Why should we come before Him with thanksgiving? Verse 3 tells us. Psalm 95. "For," or because, "the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." As a matter of fact, we know that there is no other God except the Lord. There is only one. And He is sovereign over all creation. "Know you that the Lord, He is God." And I would ask us this question: what God is our Lord? What God is our Lord? Is there anything in my life or your life that gets in between you and the Lord? Often there can be. From day to day, it could change from day to day. But anything or anyone, anything that comes between us and our Lord, that's called an idol. And in that moment in time, we're not serving the true Lord, we're serving that idol. I want you to listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6. The prophet Isaiah, and he was prophesying of the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see this in verse 3. And then I'm going to look at verse 6. But in Isaiah chapter 44, look at verse 2 and 3. 2 and 3. 44, 2 and 3. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and we're going to see in our Psalms 100 in verse 4, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. David says in Psalm 139 that he is fearfully and wonderfully made from his mother's womb. Which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's a prophecy of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord says, I will pour my Spirit upon your seed and pour my blessing upon your offspring. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord hath done. But look at verse 6 of 44. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. He's it. And He's sovereign, and He reigns and rules in all of the earth. So the psalmist in our Psalm 100 says, know this, that the Lord Jehovah Yahweh, He is God. He tells us that we need to know these things. I believe it was the prophet Hosea in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I believe, Brother Jim, you said at the meeting down at Sharon Church a couple of weeks ago, that what is one thing that you would pinpoint that has caused God's people to fall away from church going and from living as we should? It is a lack of knowledge of God's Word. That's what it is. He says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and understanding. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 18 that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, He is the one who teaches us about Himself in our heart. But it is the Spirit of God in our heart bearing witness with our spirit when we read and study the Word of God that opens it up to us and reveals things to us that causes us to know without a doubt, know you this, that the Lord, He is God. And then He says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Have you ever heard anyone say that they believe that they were a self-made man? I made it myself. I created all my wealth, all my houses, my lands, my career, my position, my prestige. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. There's no person on earth that is a self-made man, whether they acknowledge or realize it or not. The richest man in the world is not a self-made man. It is only because God allows it to happen that way. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Now, He created us in the beginning of creation in His own image, didn't He? When God created Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, then it says that man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Until that form of a man that God made from the dust of the ground, it was a lifeless lump of clay until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life comes from God alone. You know, those out there that believe in evolution say that we came from a one-celled amoeba. Well, where did that come from? Where did that one-celled amoeba come from? Well, they say, oh, those chemicals just got together in the right way and formed life. Yeah. Nope, that's not the way it happened. God spoke it into existence, and He breathed life into His creation. That's what He did. But we know what happened. You know, the devil came to Eve and tempted Eve and said, you're not going to die if you eat of the fruit of that tree, but you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And she believed the devil. She was deceived by him and partook of the forbidden fruit, gave to Adam, her husband, who was with her, and he partook of that forbidden fruit, and immediately they died spiritually in trespasses and in sin. And they lost their fellowship with Almighty God. But then aren't you thankful that the Lord, He's also our Redeemer. He's not only our Maker and our Creator, He is also our Redeemer. He created us and then He redeemed us in the blood of Christ. Know you that it is the Lord who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Isn't that a wonderful analogy? He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And He is the chief shepherd. Those three adjectives are found in the New Testament. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Shepherd. Now in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, known as that great sheep chapter in the New Testament, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He says this in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The old devil's a thief and a robber. He tries to rob us of our joy, doesn't he? But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Aren't you thankful that we hear his voice? We hear his voice because he lives in our heart. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Not only do we hear His voice, but we know that voice. It is distinct. And we know it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, but a stranger will they not follow. If you've ever watched sheep in a pasture, they will not follow a stranger. They will only follow their own shepherd. A stranger will they not follow. They will flee from a stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, in 1 John 4 it says that there are many spirits that are gone out into the world. Many false spirits. But we're not to follow after them. But we are to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not, and follow after the one true and living God, the Holy Spirit. Drop down, he says this in verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The Lord Jesus knows you individually. He knows me personally. He died for you individually. And I've always said and heard it said that if I were the only one that would have received salvation, Jesus would have still gone to the cross. But I'm thankful it was for a great multitude. And it says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And he says, "I and my Father are one." And then in Psalm 100 verse 4 he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We have entered into his gates this morning. And he, of course, he was referring there to the gates of Jerusalem or the gates of the temple that was in Jerusalem and to the courts. But I'm thankful that we can enter into his house with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In Psalms chapter 116, verse 17 through 19, listen to this. Psalm 116. 17 through 19. 116, 17. But the psalmist said, "I will offer unto thee, unto the Lord, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord." You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, "And all who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, you can't call upon Him unless you're already His child. You can't call on the Lord unless you're already His child. But when a child of God calls on the Lord, He delivers us from all of our fears. He says, "I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? And then he closes again in verse 5 by saying, "Because or for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Aren't you thankful that his mercy is everlasting? He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, in Hebrews 13, verse 6, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He's unchanging, His love is unchanging, His grace is unchanging, and His mercy is unchanging. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if he was a changeable God like we change every day, you know, we can change our minds from one day to the next on a variety of topics. You know, the Lord might have mercy today and not have mercy tomorrow if He were a changeable God. But He's unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. David said in Psalm 103, and verse 17, 103:17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It has no beginning and no ending. Just like His love and His grace has no beginning and no ending." 103:17. "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, but it is to such as keep His covenant and those that remember His commandments to do them." They're not suggestions. They are commandments. And I believe that's where we in America have fallen short. We are not doing His commandments. Now, as I close, I want to read an excerpt from President Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation, and it was 74 years to the day, October 3rd, 1863. Lincoln said, "It is the duty of all nations, as well as of all men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God." And I think we've fallen short there in America. We're not depending on the overruling power of God to confess their sins and their transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with the assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But Abraham Lincoln went on to say this: "But we have forgotten God." Do you believe in America today we've forgotten God? It's a sad thing, isn't it? We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand that preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our heart that all these blessings we have were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. In other words, Abraham Lincoln said, we have forgotten God and we think that we are self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. He went on and said it. Lincoln said, intoxicated with unbroken success in the United States, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. He said, we've become too proud to pray to the God that made us. And what a sad state of affairs that is. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. My goodness, the Holy Spirit was working in Abraham Lincoln's heart there, wasn't he? My prayer for each of us individually, for our families, for our churches, for our communities, and for our nation, is that we would turn from our sins and transgressions in humble sorrow with the assured hope that genuine repentance will lead once again to mercy and pardon, is my prayer for Christ's sake. God bless you. At this time, we'll have a hymn of opportunity.
Let's go to the number 445.
Okay, hymn number 445.
In my heart rings a melody.